Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our new series called Save the Date, and this week Pastor Josh explains that if we are single, we can choose to focus on ourselves, or we can choose to live a kingdom-minded life and walk in close relationship with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? Good? Great to see you guys. Wow, just so good to see everybody here on this Super Bowl weekend. Anybody room for the Chiefs? Anybody Niners? Anybody ready to eat? Exactly. So, hey, I'm glad you guys are here. I know we got a bunch of people watching online, and we have people at our C3 Coffee Bar here in Conway that you guys are with us. So let's give it up for all of them right now. So glad you guys are with us. And we have another group that's with us. They're not tuning in so they can't see us, but our C3 Coffee Bar at Coastal, our Coastal campus, they are actually meeting right now for the first time on a Sunday morning due to the Super Bowl being tonight. And I know they've got a great group there as well. So that's just really cool to see that we've got a bunch of people here and a bunch of people across town at our Coastal campus as well. So God is definitely up to some good things at the Rock. Amen? You with me on that? Yeah. So you might be new with us here. You might be new joining in. Whatever, or however long you've been coming, I do encourage you, if you're new, stop by the Connect Corner if you've never stopped by there. We've got a free gift for you. It's a t-shirt and then a coupon for a drink at our coffee bar. And we would love just to get to know you a little bit and give that gift to you. So if you're new here, please do that. We'd love to have you do that. And let me just say, if you're new, perfect time to come, because we're launching a new series called Save the Date. And the series is really going to be good for those of you in the crowd that are single, all right? And I know at our 10:30 crowd, we have a bunch of people that are single at this crowd. And you might be single because you're 16 or 17. You might be single because you're a young adult, or maybe you've never been married. You might be single because you're been widowed or divorced. Whatever reason you're single, I really believe that this series is really going to help you, all right? And reality is, there are more single people in America, more adult singles in America right now than ever before in our history. There's more single adults than there are actually married adults. So we're going to really speak to the singles. Now, married people, trust me, I'm going to be opening up the Word of God. There's going to be plenty for you, okay? All right, plenty for you. But as a single person, there's some things that I'm really going to say that I think are going to help you, because that's what I want to do, is I want to help you. Now, one way I could help you is I could just say, to prove my point, there's a bunch of single people here. I could tell all you single people to raise your hand, all right? Now, I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to embarrass you, although I know some of you would say, please do, because I want to know who's available in the crowd. I know, okay? I get that, right? And at the Rock, we're here to help you, all right? That's one reason we've got all of these, like, Valentine's Day cards out in the lobby, and I want to encourage you to take one, especially if you're single. Like, maybe hand it to somebody, maybe hand them this one. It says, "You're kind of cute." Maybe that'll help you. I don't know. That's a weird one. You can hear this one says, "Want to go on a date?" All right, that's just pretty forward. It's like, here you go. See what happens. Maybe what will happen in a couple years is somebody will be getting married and they'll say, it all started because of that little card, all right? Like I said, here at the Rock, we're here to help you. But what this also might do is it might just be beneficial for somebody else, because maybe you know somebody that needs to hear this series. Now, maybe you know somebody who's single. Maybe you know somebody who's been dating and dating's gone bad, all right? And you're like, they need to hear some good advice, some biblical advice on dating, all right? So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks, and we're going to talk about being single, about dating, about being engaged, about being married, and we're going to walk through the book of Ruth. And like I said, it's going to apply to all of us, but there's going to be some key points through it, all right? And the question that I'll start with today, because it's where the book of Ruth starts, is this question: what direction are you going to walk? Like when it comes to life, when it comes to being single, when it comes to being married, when it comes to just all things in life, it's a simple question of which direction are you going to walk? Because the direction of your walk will determine your destination, right? Like that just plain and simple. The direction of your walk is going to determine your destination. And so when it comes to the book of Ruth and what we're going to see, you can either walk towards death or you can walk towards life. You can walk away from God or you can walk towards God. And my hope today is that we understand that when we walk away from God, it'll lead towards death. But if we walk towards God, it can lead towards life. And that's what we see in the book of Ruth. And so if you have a Bible, you have a phone, the Rock app, you can pull it up. It's right here on the screen as well. But it reads like this. It says, in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came over the land. And I'm going to stop there for a second just so you catch the context. All right. This is in a day where judges were ruling. Israel didn't have a king because God was their king. So they didn't have a king. They just had judges. And in this time, if you were to go, excuse me, and read in a different book, then you would read. Sorry about that. What you would read in this other book is how at the time of judges that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That it was a time, this would have been close to 4,000 years ago, that everybody just did whatever was right in their own eyes. If it seemed right and it felt right, then it was right and they did it. Doesn't sound like it's much different than today, does it? If you think about it, I mean, that's a lot of times how we feel today. Well, if it seems right to me and feels right to me, it must be right. So what we're dealing with today is the same thing they were dealing with back then. So this verse, even though it's almost 4,000 years ago, really applies to today. So now let me keep reading. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came over the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab. Now I'll get to Moab in a second. He's taking his wife and his two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech. How about y'all read this with me, okay? Just read the names for me. The man's name was? Nice try. And his wife was?
Naomi.
Their two sons were? Mahlon and Chilion. I don't even know if that's how you say it. It's how I'm going to say it, okay? That you have Elimelech, you have Mahlon, and you have Chilion. And their names are important. And here's why there's importance in their names, all right? What you see is these four individuals, a mom, a dad, and two sons, all heading to the land of Moab. And in by doing so, what they were doing is they were walking away from God. They weren't walking towards God. They were walking away from God. They lived in Bethlehem, which is called the House of Bread. It was the place where God was. It was the country of Israel, the land of Judah. This is the area where God is saying, I'm here, I'm your king, live with me, and I'll take care of you. Don't live in foreign lands. Don't go to foreign lands. Stay right here. Yet in the moment, Elimelech, he decides to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. Moab is a place where they have a king, and the king allows for the worship of false gods, for all kinds of sexuality, and for human sacrifices. So they're living in a land where there is no king but God, and Elimelech decides to go to a land where there's a king that allows all these other practices. Interesting thing, do you know what Elimelech's name means? God is my king. So his name means God is my king, yet he's living life as if he can't trust God, so he's going to another land. That he says, I've got to leave this land because there's no bread here, and I've got to go to that land, and I'm going to take my family with me. And by doing so, when he leaves, he basically takes his family out of church for the next 10 plus years. That they leave the area where there's a tabernacle, where there's other people who fear God and worship God, and he goes to a land that is godless, and he sets up shop there. How often, this is going to get real personal for a second, how often do we do the same things that Elimelech did? You might go, do I ever? Have you maybe done this? Well, I'm going to take this job promotion. I know it's going to require a lot more out of my life, and it's going to take time away from my family. It's going to take time away from my schedule. I'm going to be on the road all the time, but it's going to provide a lot more money so I can take care of my family, so we're going to move over here. Or, you know what, we've been living in this area, things are great for our family spiritually, and we're healthy, but we're going to go ahead and take this new job over here where things get a lot more difficult, and I'm going to take my people out of that land. Or here's one we'll do with our kids. We'll say, I'm going to get my kids involved in club sports, and we're going to travel all the time every weekend, and I know we're going to miss church, but that's going to be okay, because of what I'm doing is I'm providing for my kid. He's going to get better, then maybe he's going to get a college scholarship, and that's going to save us money down the road. Y'all like, why are you preaching like that? Now, let me say this first and foremost. I believe that job promotions are great. I believe that there's times you take new jobs, and that's great. I believe that getting your kids involved in traveling sports and clubs like that are awesome, all right? There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. The question is, when you do that, are you taking them away from God or towards God? Now, my kids all played in club sports. We hit the road, we traveled and stuff like that. But there's a difference between taking them away from God or taking them towards God. And in this moment, Elimelech says, I'm just going to move my family over here. Why? Because he needed bread. He needed to provide for his family. That's a great thing. But you know what he could have done? Is he could have looked at his family and said, guys, we're here. There's bread in Moab. God's given us the money. I'm going to go to Moab. I'm going to buy the food. And then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take care of our family, because my job is to take care of our family. But my job isn't to take my family out of the spiritual life that they so desperately need. And dads, listen to this. How you live your life, dads, how you live your life in relationship with God is going to determine the direction that your kids go as well. Statistically speaking, when a dad is active at church and active in his relationship with God, his kids have a much higher statistical chance of staying connected with God and connected in church for the rest of their life. When a dad quits going to church, when a dad quits having an active relationship with God, statistically speaking, most oftentimes his kids do as well. So if you're married or if you're a dad in this room, please don't follow Elimelech's life where he said, I can't trust God, so I'm going to walk away from God and take care of it on my own. But it wasn't just Elimelech. It goes a step further, all right? Because then we can get to Mahlon and Chilion. Now, Mahlon and Chilion, they walked away from God because they went to the land of Moab as well. But when they got to the land of Moab, they decided not to follow God. Because they came of age, they hit that point where they're like, well, we need to get married. So instead of going back to Bethlehem, instead of going back and find people that God had told them to marry, they went and they looked amongst the Moabite women. Now, the Moabite women, they must have been good-looking women, okay? That is, you're going to study more in this story over the next several weeks. There must have been something about Ruth that was very attractive, all right? But what ended up happening is Mahlon and Chilion, when they get in this land of Moab, rather than obey God and trust what God said, they went, whoa, let's just look at the women right here and let's just marry these ladies. Basically, what they're saying is, why don't we just fish right here? Because this is the easiest place to fish, rather than doing the hard work of going and finding the person that God had positioned for them. All right, single people, this is where I got to talk to you for a second. How often do we go the easy route? How often do we start maybe dating somebody or looking for somebody to date because they're just close? Maybe because they're the one paying attention to you and it just seems easy. What would it look like to actually do the hard work and do the work that God is calling you to do to find the right person? And when you find the right person, that's hard work as well. Because if you find the right person, then you want to do your relationship in the right way, all right? In God's way. And that's a tough thing because you say, well, nobody else is doing it that way. Well, maybe not, but what if we did it the right way, which is the hard way, rather than just taking an easy route out? I would think at least one mom or dad would be saying amen to this. You know what I'm saying? But I think too many times we're like Mahlon and Chilion, who just says, well, I'm just going to marry somebody close to me. I'm just going to date somebody close to me. I'm just going to take the easy route rather than going towards the difficult route. And you know what it does? leads to death. It leads to death. They walked away from God. But it wasn't just those guys. It was one more. There was a lady, one of the ladies they married. Her name was Orpah. All right? Not Oprah. Orpah. Now, I'm getting ready to say some bad things about Orpah, and I don't want somebody to think I'm saying bad things about Oprah, because I know I'll lose you. Okay? Somebody will take a snippet on the internet and say, preacher, talking bad about Oprah, all right? That's another day, another dollar. No, I'm teasing. Anyway, let's talk about Orpah. That Orpah was one of the ladies that Mahlon and Chilion had married, all right? That they married these two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And what ended up happening is Elimelech died. And then Mahlon died and Chilion died. All three of these men died. So Naomi finds herself living in a foreign land with foreign daughter-in-laws. And she's looking at him. She's saying, guys, I can't take care of you. There's nothing I can do to help you now. That we are in the land of death. And if we keep living here, we're all just going to die. Because I don't have a husband. You don't have husbands. We don't have grandchildren. We don't have any boys that have been born to us. And back then, everything was done through the mail. All right, the money was in the mail, the property was through the mail, all things are done through the mail. So Naomi is saying, I cannot provide for you. This is not possible. So what you need to do is you need to go back to your old people, and you need to go back to your old gods. That's what Naomi says to her daughter-in-laws. And they kind of fight with her for a little while, and then eventually Orpah looks at her and says, you're right, I've tried your God, I've tried your people, and it's not working. I've tried it, and it's just not working, so I'm going to let go of it. I'm going to go back to my people, is what it says. The next verse, verse 14 says, and again, they wept together, and then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Look, Naomi said to Ruth, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same. That Orpah is going back to her people and her gods because she tried the Jewish people. She tried the God of Yahweh, and it didn't work. So she said, I'm turning my back on that God, and I'm going back to my old people and my old God. And how many times do we do that as well? Do you see it? Elimelech turned away from God because he didn't trust God. That Mahlon and Chilion turned away from God. They walked away from God because they didn't want to follow God. Orpah walked away from God because she gave up on God and on God's people. Said that didn't work. And I'm afraid too many times we do the same. But when we do that and we walk away from God, it leads to death. So again, let me ask you this question. Which way are you going to walk? What way are you going to walk? Are you going to walk away from God, or are you going to walk towards God? Because Naomi and Ruth, they walk towards God. Naomi, again, you know, she was the one that just followed her husband into this distant land. And then eventually her husband died. And while she's sitting there, she comes to her senses and she says, this isn't working. I've been living in a foreign land. I've been living away from God. I've been walking away from God. And all I got around me is death. So it's obvious this isn't working. So she has a moment of commitment where she says, I'm turning back and I'm following God. I'm walking towards God. And maybe that's where you're at right now. And understand, when Naomi did this, she was a bitter old woman. All right? Now, this isn't a preacher making fun of her, calling her a bitter old woman. That's what she called herself. Because when she got back to Bethlehem, people said, Naomi, you're home. She said, don't call me Naomi, just call me Mara, because I am a bitter woman. She was bitter. She was upset. But even in her bitterness, she said, I've just got to trust God and walk towards him. See, life was not what she had longed for. It wasn't what she was looking for. She was in a situation she didn't want. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you're here and you're a widow. And maybe you've been married for years, but now all of a sudden you find your spouse is not here any longer. Maybe you got married and very quickly you became a widow. And you're like, this isn't what I desired. This isn't what I planned for. Maybe you got married and then all of a sudden your spouse just took off. Maybe they went after somebody else, or maybe they got into a bad season in life, racked up a bunch of debt, left you with a bunch of debt, and then split. And you find yourself in just a horrible situation where you're bitter and you're just going, this is not the life I dreamed of. It feels like death all around me. Maybe you need to have a moment of commitment just like Naomi. And you say, you know what? I'm just going to walk towards God. Because I believe if I walk towards God, that's where life will be found. Maybe you need a moment of commitment. Or maybe you need to be like Ruth and you need to have a moment of conversion. See, there's this beautiful thing about Ruth. Because in this, when Naomi said, I'm walking towards God, Ruth said, I am too. And Naomi said, no, there's no reason to. You can't. And Ruth said, Naomi, I'm walking towards your God because he is now my God. Look at what it says. It says, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. That what Ruth is saying in that moment, she's saying, I am making a decision. I'm having a conversion moment because the gods of my past, the people of my past, the life of my past, that isn't working. Living in the land of Moab is not working for me. So I'm turning and I'm converting and I'm following your God because I believe that's where life is going to be found. And maybe that's where you're at today, that you need to realize that, man, I need to have a conversion moment. Maybe it's because you're single. Maybe it's while you're married. Maybe it's because you don't know God. But you're just realizing, I've got to turn from some things in my past. And I got to start walking towards God. Now, when Ruth did this, it meant, one, she was turning from her old life. She said, I got to turn from my old life. And maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe there's this old life, this life you've been living in. And let's just admit it, it's death. It's just not good. You keep finding yourself in all kinds of trouble. Keep finding yourself in all kinds of consequence of your actions. You're like, I'm done with that kind of life. I want to walk towards God. Maybe as you're turning and you're walking towards God, you realize that I got to be done with some of those people. That maybe there's some people that they constantly bring you in to junk. Maybe it's people you've chose to date. Maybe it's people that you've said, well, I'm just going to date this person. And maybe you kind of keep finding yourself dating the same kind of person over and over and over. Maybe because it's convenient. Maybe you're attracted to the person who's hurting. Maybe you're attracted to the person who's rebellious. And as soon as you start getting into a relationship with them, you just start noticing, man, it's just bad. Maybe it's time to turn and walk away from that person. Now, I know when I say that, some of y'all get a little itchy. Because there's some of you who are sitting next to people you're dating right now, right? And you're just like, oh, I'm so glad I put a ring on her finger. You know what I mean, though? Like, some of you are sitting next to people, and you're just like, well, we're dating. Well, hey, I'm at church with you. You know what I mean? I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting here trying to tell you to break up with people. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to make sure you hear is avoid death. Avoid people who bring death into your life. And I don't mean physical death. I mean just the death of what the life of God has dreamed for you. Avoid that. Walk away from that. I'm going to preach a lot about that next week, about who you should date and stuff like that. So maybe you don't want to come. I don't know, okay? But that's next week in chapter 2. But moving on, there's one other thing she had to turn away from. She had to turn away from her old gods. That she had to turn from her old gods, that she was leaving the gods of a statue of false gods and idols. She was saying, I'm leaving that, and I'm walking towards God. And I think we need to do the same. All right? I know we don't have stone statues we worship anymore, stuff like that, but we worship false gods in the form of money, in the form of popularity, in the form of our possessions, our positions, that we put it up as an idol in our life. And what Ruth was doing in that moment, she says, to quit walking away from God and to walk towards God, I got to turn my back on my false gods and I got to start walking. And here's the beauty. The moment you say, I'm going to turn and I'm going to start walking towards God, God's right there. That's what happens when I turn and start walking towards God. He's right there. That's what God did through his son Jesus when he sent Jesus to this earth for us. That he sent Jesus to be right there. So all you got to do is say, I'm going to quit turning my back to God and I'm going to start turning towards God. And when you take that step, he's like, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. When you say, I'm done, like, dating and living that way, I'm going to start, God's right there. And now start walking with him. See, that's what Ruth did. She turned towards God and started walking towards God and immediately started walking with God. Look at the next part of the verse. It says, wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. If I allow anything but death to separate us. Understand what she's saying in that moment. That what Ruth is really saying is she's saying, Naomi, I understand when I follow you, I'm going to start following your God, which means I'm not giving up on him and I'm not giving up on you. And if I walk with him towards Israel, then I know for the rest of my life, I'm planning on being single. That she is making a commitment right there in that moment to say, I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. Because she knew that if I go to Jerusalem, if I go to Bethlehem, to Judea, that when I go there, that I'm a foreigner. And everybody in that land has been told not to marry foreigners because foreigners worship false gods. So she knew, I can't marry anybody because they won't marry me because I'm a foreigner. And besides that, Naomi, I'm making a commitment to you that I'll never leave your side. So if I was to marry somebody who's not part of your family, well, then I'm not taking care of you any longer. And I'm making a commitment to take care of you as I follow God. So see this, she is basically saying, for the rest of my life, I will be single. And I know many of us, we look at singleness almost like a curse. We look at singleness almost like it's a scarlet letter. That you're like, oh yeah, you know, you're single. There's nothing wrong with being single. Let me say it the way Paul said it. Paul said, I wish everyone was single. That's what Paul says. He says, I wish everyone was single. The single people are like, yeah, the field would be much more open. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Why is he saying this? Is he saying marriage is bad? Absolutely not. I'm going to get to that in a second. But let's talk about this singleness idea. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. And that's a 24-hour-a-day job. That's the Finkley translation there. Can I get an amen? Somebody stand with me? All right, thank you. I mean, it's for real. But let me keep reading. I'm running out of time. A woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit. Listen to what he's saying here. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place a restriction on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve God. The Lord best. See, that's the key. What will help you to serve the Lord best? What will help you to serve the Lord best? Because that's what life is all about. And if being single helps you serve the Lord best, then do that. If being married helps you serve the Lord best, then do that. But before you walk in serving the Lord as a married person, let's think about walking with the Lord as a single person and serving him. Because here's the beauty of when you're walking with God and serving him, what you're learning all day long is this: life is not about me. When I'm serving the Lord, what I realize is life isn't about me. It's about him, and it's about serving others and giving life. A person who is all about serving the Lord is a person who's all about giving life. And let me tell you, the person you want to eventually marry, if you get married, is someone who gives life, not somebody who takes life. If somebody's taking life from you, sucking all the life out of you, that's not the type of person you want to be married to. You want to be married to somebody who understands how to give life. And we give life when we recognize it's not all about me. It's about God and it's about serving. And if we start walking that out as we're single, well, then if marriage comes, then you bring that into a marriage. And now as partners, you walk through life saying, how do I best serve God? And how do I best serve you? And that's going to make for a much better marriage. That's going to make for a marriage where people are saying, how do I give life, not take life? And that's what I want. I want each and every one of us to give life through Jesus Christ rather than take life. I want each one of us to live life through Jesus rather than walk in death. So it brings me back to that question again. What direction will you walk? You see, that's the key. What direction will you walk? Because the direction of your walk will determine your destination. And your destination should be, I want to be walking with God because I want to be somebody who receives life and also gives life. Over the next several weeks, we'll dig further into Ruth's story, and we're going to see how she received life and how she gave life because she walked with God. But let's start walking that out right now. Let's start making decisions right now to say, let's walk towards God. Let's walk towards God right now. Let's make some commitments to walk towards God. Let's make some commitments to walk with God. Whether you're single or married, doesn't matter. Whether you're a teenager or a senior citizen, doesn't matter. Let's walk towards God and let's walk with God. Let's make a moment of commitment to do that. And I know many of you in this room, you've made a commitment for the Lord to be your Savior, to walk with Him. But maybe you found yourself at times kind of turning your back against Him because you're like, well, this is just my dating life. It doesn't matter. And you just run that way for a second. Or this isn't an area that, God, I know you're too concerned with. Just hold on just a second. And we end up turning our back on Him and we start walking away. Let's make a decision right now just to walk towards Him and with Him. And you know, one thing we do at our response time is we put communion up front. We have a baptistry up front. We've got a prayer corner up front. We have all these things up front as a way to kind of mentally make you think, I'm walking towards God. Now, make sure we understand that God's all through this room. He's all through this building. His presence is everywhere here. He's with us. But there's something about that mental idea of, I'm going to walk towards God. And maybe this morning, what you need to do is you need to say, God, I'm making a commitment in my singleness. I'm making a commitment in my marriage. I'm making a commitment through my young years. I'm making a commitment through my old years. I'm going to walk towards you, and I'm going to walk with you. Maybe what you need to do is come up and take communion. Or maybe you need to come up and take a knee and pray. Maybe you need to pray with somebody at the Connect Corner. Maybe for you, though, it's not just a moment of commitment. Maybe for you, it's a moment of conversion. Maybe it's a moment where you say, I'm totally changing my life, and I'm going to respond to you, Jesus Christ. Because you recognize I've just been living in the land of death. And it's time to get out of the land of death and to start walking back towards the land of life, and that's where Jesus Christ is. And I want to invite you today, if you've never responded to God's grace, I'm going to invite you to do something very simple. I'm going to invite you to walk down that aisle, or those aisles. I'm going to invite you to come up to the communion, take a piece of bread, a cup of juice. I'm going to invite you to take a knee. And as you take that communion, it represents what Jesus did for us on the cross. And you take that bread and you take that juice. And as you take it, you say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. And I'm accepting your gift of grace. And then you take communion. And I want you to know, when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, He's going to set you free right there. The moment you start walking towards Him, He's going to say, let's take this walk together. But then, as I always say, don't keep it private. Go public with it. Come talk to us at the Connect Corner, either while worship's happening or after service, because we want to pray with you. Let's do me a favor. Let's go ahead and stand, and let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we come before you, inviting you into this room, inviting you to take us from death to life. God, I'm so thankful that we can commune with you, that we can walk with you. And God, I pray in this moment that we will turn, we will walk towards, and we will walk with. In our singleness, in our dating, in our marriage, and in our life. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.